Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're today on part 94 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And you know, almost every chapter in the Bible tells you how to have God's life living in you, from the Old Testament to the New, and through the New, from the book of Genesis all the way up to the book of Revelations. It talks about in the first chapter of Genesis that we enter into God's rest. The Lord rested on the seventh day. And therefore, that's what we're supposed to do, is enter into God's rest by laying all of our life down and leaving the works of the old works that we did. We finished our work, and so therefore, that means that there's nothing more for us to do in the world but to enter into God's rest. And that means, I wrote a piece of literature a few years ago entitled God's True Sabbath, or The True Sabbath, something to that effect. What was it?
The True Believer's
Sabbath. The True Believer's Sabbath. So if you're a true believer, you are in God's rest every day. In other words, you rest from the evil deeds that you did all throughout your life until you came to Jesus at the foot of the cross and accepted him as your personal Savior. And then the Lord enters into you and resurrects you. You die at the cross, and then you're also brought alive into the spiritual realm at the cross. He enters into you, and you're resurrected from the dead. And you then become an obedient servant to the Lord. And our message today happens to be about entering into God's rest, resting from your old life, and believing the gospel. Because it's impossible to please God without having faith. And the Lord knows that we have faith if we receive everything, every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And the Bible says that if we leave the Lord, if we forget about his word, then it says that it would be impossible for you to enter into God's rest, into the Holy Land. And so the Lord was grieved with all Israel, and their dead carcasses laid on the ground after being marching round and round the mountain for 40 years. Then until they all died, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses had to die, was not able to enter into the Holy Land, the land of Israel. And so if God's chosen people were not allowed to enter into that which is symbolic, into the land that is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven, then how could anybody believe that if they hear the word, the things that the commandments of the Lord that were commanded to do, and they wouldn't do them, how could you possibly think that you could enter into the kingdom of God? Because the Bible plainly tells us throughout that if we keep all the commandments of the Lord, then we are able to enter into his rest. And this is totally contrary to the majority of the people that are preaching the gospel, to this false gospel today. They have a false gospel, and the Bible, the true Bible, the true gospel tells us this: if anyone changes the gospel, if anyone preaches any other gospel other than the one that the apostles have preached, then they are cursed, accursed. And a curse means that you don't enter the Lord's rest, but you are slung into everlasting workhouse. It's a workhouse in hell and the lake of fire. You never are able to rest because you didn't take advantage of going into the Lord's rest. The Lord did all this labor in making the heavens and the earth, and then he went into a rest on the sand. And he says that we must enter into that rest. So he made the earth, the heavens and the earth. And he also, now the system that's in the world, the Bible says, love not the world. That means don't love the world's system. You can, you're not even supposed to love the sun or the moon. You can thank God for them because they are beneficial to us. And we're able to partake in the things of the earth if you're born again of the Spirit. But we're not to partake in the things of the world system, which is the Antichrist. the world system, the things that you see the secular world doing, they claim to be God's messengers or God's authorities here on earth. They're not, because they're of the world system, and the Lord tells us not to love the world. Love not the world, he says. And so he says, by faith, receive the kingdom of heaven. Like, our kingdom is not of this world if you're of the Lord. And therefore he tells us to completely, utterly forsake the things of the world and your flesh. And he says, if you don't, well then the same, you'll have the same fate as the people that were the chosen people that God delivered out of Egypt. You're going to die and spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And you're going into a workhouse. You laid around, you lounged around in this earth. You wouldn't work. Many of you have collected the food stamps that were paid for, but people that were out there that are in the on this earth that are actually working, because the Lord says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And so the majority of the people, I would say, at least half the people in the United States, probably 60% are on food stamps or on some government aid. Like all the government officials, everybody knows that if you work for the government, that you're lazy. During the time of Roosevelt, he came up with this plan to get people out of poverty, and there was many pictures of people leaning on shovels. But it got to the point where you couldn't even fire people anymore, even if they were lazy and didn't work. And this is totally contrary to the Bible, and people get used to that. Yeah, they are used to a free lunch. They just are doing as least they can in this lifetime, and they don't believe what the Lord says. They hear the messages, as the children of Israel did. They even heard God say them. They give the Ten Commandments on the Mount, and with an earthquake and smoke and fire, flames, sound of trumpets and earthquake, and it just wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't keep faith, and that's why the Bible states in the third chapter of and the fourth chapter, which I'm going to try to read, if I don't read, have it read, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Well, that's why it says that you will not be able to go to heaven, because the word spoken unto you was not mixed with faith. And it says, if you hearken to his voice, if you do what he says, then you shall go into his rest. Because just hearing the word and not doing what it says is not faith. In other words, you read it as though it's a novel, and that's nice. You read about Superman, Captain Marvel, Captain Midnight, but you don't fly, right? And so you think that you can read the Bible that way, that you can, but that isn't the way the Bible is. It's not a comic book, okay? It's not a comic book. And you've been raised on comics and cartoons, but you have to come to the reality that the Lord is not a cartoon. The Bible is the only real thing in the world, and you must do it. Well, anyway, we have some letters and scriptures and the message of how to have God's life living in you, and that's by entering into God's rest. And if you'll allow him to rest in you and represent himself in you and through you, well, then you're in his rest, because he's not going to live in a human body that doesn't allow him to abide in them, and one that is not abiding in him. He wants to abide in you, and you are commanded to abide in him. And if you are, you're not going to be sitting watching movies or cartoons all day long. You're going to, now I listen to TV, I watch I oversee these different false prophets preaching and teach. I watch the news to see just how close it is that we are to the end of time. And I watch the Lord. I listen to him. and let him tell me what I'm supposed to say in these programs. So, Father, right now we come to you, and I ask you, Lord, to deal with everyone in the world that's listening to these broadcasts so that their souls will be saved. Let everything that you say in this message through me, that that it's all you, Lord, and that I don't say anything, because people are sick and tired of listening to human beings. I hear that all the time, no matter where I go, and the brothers and sisters that are on the streets witnessing and testifying throughout the United States and many other countries in the world, they all say the same thing, that people are hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, and they're not in, and they're not into what man says. But yet there's a lot of people that sit in your ministry that they don't think that the things that are being said by the rulers that you've placed over them, they don't think that that's of the Lord, some of them. And because we see people that have fallen away, and because of the fact that they are not able to live in the splendor of your Spirit, and they're not, they don't want to keep the commandments so they can partake in the blessings that you pour out on our church all the time. So much blessings that we're able to share our blessings with people in Africa, India, the Philippines, into Pakistan, into the United States, Mexico, and all throughout the world. We are able to share this Israel. We share the wealth, the blessings that you pour upon us. But the people want these blessings, but they don't want to do what you say. And Lord, this causes you to be angry and full of wrath. And but you are not a person that is has to strike out immediately, because you live forever. You've got plenty of time to wait for them to come up before you at the great white throne, the final day of judgment. And you're just sitting back waiting for them to do your will. And you cause some of them sickness, disease, infirmities. And you cause some of them, when you see that they're not going to, they positively made up their mind that they believe what the false prophets say, they become antichrist, anti your word, anti Jesus, anti your Bible, your word, which is spirit and life. They're against the Holy Spirit, and therefore you destroy them. And I ask, Lord, that there's so many of these destructive people here on earth, and we know that these are the people that are in the church. Lord, put them away. And those that have left the church and are attempting to stir up trouble, you told me, don't even think about it, don't worry about it, that you're going to take care of them. Because, Lord, you said that I have to concentrate on your word and not on the devil's provoking you, that this is your job, Lord, to pour out your vengeance on them. It isn't my job at all, because you said that this was your job. You said, vengeance is my job. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, and everyone I pray that prays with me, uniting, that you will take vengeance on those that have absolutely refused to stop their agitation, their irritation, their continuous opposition to your word, to your church, and to the people, to the pastor, to the prophet, to the entire assembly of the living God here on earth. Lord, destroy those that refuse to repent. Lord, give them a, I pray that you know what you're doing. I don't have to tell you what to do. But Lord, I pray that you quicken them to sanity before you have to, before you take the measure that I've seen you do so many times before, even in my lifetime and throughout history in the Bible. Lord, let I pray that you will bind them, irritate, agitate, destroy them as they are trying to destroy your work here on earth. Lord, save so. I know you will. And elevate the church in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right. So you have some letters now. Where's the first one from?
From Burkina Faso, Africa.
We're, I'm being attacked. You know, like, for instance, we'll have like a radio station. They say, because you talk bad about the devil, we won't let you be on our station anymore. And I says, well, I wasn't born on a radio station, and I'm not going to maybe die on one. I just, you know, if the Lord wants to let you pull me off a radio station, then you better watch out, because you are the one that is doing it. But immediately, God always rises up another one immediately. For instance, the Vatican, a man from Notre Dame, didn't want to lose his box at Notre Dame University. And that's why he took me off, because Notre Dame is, of course, a Catholic university. And they part of the Antichrist. Not all of them. If they will get out of there, the Lord will bless them just as he does everybody else that makes a stand for the Lord, not just me. There are many good churches in the world that are part. I'm just a part of the body of Christ. There are maybe millions of us. There's a lot of them that say they're Christians that are not, but I'm a part of the vast body of Christ, the actual church. I'm a segment of the church of the Most High God. And you could be a segment of that church as well if you'll just hear the word and then believe it by faith, having faith. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, so that's just something, you know, how they think that some of the people in the world, the majority of them, feel that if they're with the Antichrist cult, government, and media, that they're the majority. But the Bible tells us that one righteous man with God is the majority. Amen?
Amen.
Who was it that showed a whole host all around the mountains and everything to his servant? Do you remember who that was? Wasn't that Elisha? Yes, it was, wasn't it? Yes. The servant of Elisha was saying they were so, he was so afraid because he saw these vast amount of people against him. And then Elijah was so vexed with him. He says, Lord, open his eyes so he can see that we are more, just the two of us here, are more than them. And so he opened up his eyes and he saw the army of the host of the Lord, circling all around the place. One angel came down and killed all of Sennacherib's army. Do you remember how many there were in that army?
185,000.
185,000 dead corpses lay on the ground because the angel of the Lord went through that multitude at night, during the night, and they went to bed, but they never got up for the rest of their lives. They were, their lives were over with. Just one angel. And there are millions of angels of the Lord that are encamped around and about the Lord's people. And if you believe the Lord and continue reading his word so that you stay, that you are able to continue on to the end, you shall be saved. But if you leave, and we'll read those scriptures. Okay, go ahead. Let's hear a couple of these. Hey, you, if you don't continue on in the Lord, you will not be able to enter into God's rest. It's impossible. Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings of peace, love, and joy of the Lord be with you and your ministry in Jesus' name. The main goal of this letter is to send my heartfelt appreciation and thankfulness for the Alamo World newsletters and other Christian literature you have been sending me.
You know, I do that because the Lord just fills me with excitement about the world of the Word of the Lord. The world is so dull and dreary, and I see people, young people in my church, sitting around and talking to each other as though that's really living it up, or that they're really into something, and they don't. I don't see some of them into the Word of God, but it's the most exciting time of my day when I put my face into the Word of God and I start seeing and hearing the Lord leading me into the Scriptures that He wants me to preach. It's just, it's so supernatural that I don't see how anyone could be happy with the natural. And of course, people that are in the natural cannot please the Lord. And they certainly can't please anyone that is of the Lord, because they're carnal, they're flesh. All right, then what?
I have benefited from its abundant teaching and admonishing for righteous living.
And this one feels the same way I do. I benefited greatly from the Lord. Then what?
One has to keep in the Lord.
Yeah, they must stay in the Lord, yes. Then what?
Your newsletters and Messiah book with your other literature has helped me to acquire more knowledge and understanding in the Word of God. You have a very significant impact on my righteous living and my desire for more of His Word, so I urge you to keep on sending the literature, which I also am eager to read and distribute to people.
Oh, yes. Then what?
Pastor, I am telling you that the distribution of your literature in general, distributing the Word of God, has been changing and winning souls for Christ.
Well, we just saw pictures that were sent in to us from Pakistan, and it's just like a sea of people over there that they're holding up my literature, and they're wearing the T-shirts, the church T-shirts. And the little kids and the adults and the aged people, they're all holding up, and they've got a big revival going over there in Pakistan, India, Africa, over 200 countries. Then what?
I would be happy if your ministry could send me 5 King James Version Bibles, 3 in English and 2 in French, 6 Messiah books, 2 in English and 4 in French, a Bible dictionary, and a concordance. I would like you to send me your messages, preaching videotapes, and I would like the black color T-shirt. I will be glad if all of my requests are granted. May the Lord continue to bless you in Jesus' name. Pastor Charles from Burkina Faso, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Send everything to him. You ask for these things, he'll get them too if you're a distributor. Okay, and then what else of this literature that the Lord has given me? And he's given it to you as well. All right, then what?
From Mexico, translated from Spanish. Brother Tony, Jehovah bless you and keep you from all harm. Greetings to all the brethren who work with you. Please send me literature and a T-shirt and sweatshirt. Also a T-shirt for my friend, 3 Messiah books, 3 Bibles in Spanish. Your literature is winning souls in this big city of approximately 3 million. God bless you. Amen and amen. Brother Miguel from Monterrey, Mexico.
Monterrey, that is a large city. I mean, a lot of people think that Mexico City is one of the largest cities in the world. People think New York is, but New York is not the largest city. I think Hong Kong or Mexico City are bigger, and other cities too. Then what else?
From Nigeria. Dear Pastor Lamo, I was a Catholic to the core. Your newsletter titled The Pope's Secrets was my means of getting saved and born again. I am now a pastor. Thank you very much. Reverend Azu from Edo State, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Then what else?
From Venezuela, I think what you are doing is wonderful. From Miguel in Caracas, Miranda, Venezuela.
Well, thank you. You know, even if you jot down a one-liner like that, it's fantastic to us. It thrills us to know that the literature has an impact in your country, where you are, in your city, your town, your village. Then what?
From Peru, God bless you. I would like to receive edifying messages. Thank you, Brother Juan Alberto from Tacna, Peru.
Isn't that something? This is a nice little hi, you know? How you doing? Okay, then what?
Then the response from the radio station.
Yeah, here's the response from the people that book me on radio. Yeah, they won't. It's just amazing. Well, when we lost this one station, we got a new one here in the United States that covers the whole, if you're using shortwave. We, instead of being on one time a day, we're on now three times a day. 3 hours a day. Isn't that something? And they seem like a very good time segments, too. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Steve, the man who helps get radio stations for Pastor Lamo's programs, called to let Pastor Lamo know that the reason why the South Bend, Indiana radio station and the shortwave radio station dropped Pastor Lamo's radio program is because the owner, Peter Summerall, son of Lester Summerall, a preacher, was told that if he did not take Pastor Lamo off of his station, he will lose his box seat at the University of Notre Dame.
Well, so he prefers the box seat rather than a place in the kingdom of heaven. So God will put him in a box. Amen?
Amen.
God has a box for him too. But his soul will be confined to a very tiny space, and he'll be screaming his head off throughout eternity for blocking, because he wanted a prestigious box seat. At what university?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame. Well, that's sad. Okay, let's go on to... we've got bigger fish to fry today. All right, so come on, let's read a little bit from... we have messages. I've got so many messages. I wish that I had my own satellite to where I could just preach all day long. And then when I'm done, when I just wear out after 10 or 12 hours, then I could just turn the station over to some of the people that I've won to the Lord, and they could give their testimonies too. So if any of you want to sponsor us and get us a satellite, we'll preach the gospel 24 hours a day, and everyone that really is of the Lord, we'll let them on. I'm not going to be like some of these other supposed to be Christian stations and let people come on with false doctrine. You see them in there with Buddhists and Catholics, priests and cardinals and all these. These are not of the Lord. I'm trying to win those people to the Lord. I don't hate them. If I did, why would I lay my life on the line to win their souls to the Lord? Okay, now let's read a little from the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, bring my Bible here. There's another one. This is the one. This is it. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Yeah, consider who he is. He's God. He's God that came to this earth as a man. Let's consider that. You know, you could meditate on that all day long and all night and for the rest of your life. Just that little bit of the Bible there. Then what?
Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Yeah, now God appointed, God in heaven, God in heaven, you have to remember that God is three parts. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But those three parts injected a godly seed into Mary's womb. It was a man that had God living in him. It was not God. So when it says God, the Spirit of God was in this man and gave him the power to be able to do the things that all men and all women are supposed to do, to keep the commandments of the Lord. And the way the Lord, the reason the Lord did that was that he wanted to show everybody in the world that human beings, even though you're made out of flesh and blood, and even though you know you're weak, and that you're tempted and you have succumbed to temptation on many occasions in your life, he came into the world to show us a lot of us didn't, were not aware of Jesus and all the details of, or the mechanics of how God can actually live inside of you, giving you the power to where you won't be, you can overcome temptation. You can overcome not only temptation, sin, Satan, the world, your flesh, and all these things that are temporal. Because there won't be any sin, Satan, or flesh in the kingdom of heaven. Or lust. That all has to go. And this is the world here, the earth, is the place, is a dressing room to enter eternity. And so the Lord gives us the way we should be dressed, and that means with righteousness. And if people say, well, we are God's righteousness. Yes, if we put on the entire armor of God, then God's righteousness is in us, and we are allowing God to live his righteous life in and through us. But you hear these false prophets saying to just a bunch of unsaved people, one minute they're saying, yeah, I know you're all committing adultery with each other's wives and all this sort of thing, but the Bible tells you you can't. You're not God's righteousness unless you're allowing God to live out his life to represent himself in and through you in the body of a man. So it's saying that God, Jesus, wanted God to control him, and so he surrendered his entire life over to the Father, the Spirit, that was in him, a man. This man's name was Jesus. Was Jesus God? The Spirit in him was God for sure. And because of the fact that he did what God said to do, that meant that he was a member of God's, he was the high priest, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And so God glorified this human being because he allowed himself to be completely surrendered or consecrated unto the Father, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the kingdom of heaven, because they're all one. And the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit were in Jesus. But he still, Jesus, was a man, just like David was a man. And just like Tony, me, am a man. But still, we have God in us. And so by the example of Jesus, we know that because of the power, the Bible calls grace power, but power is grace. By the grace of God, we're able to be more than conquerors over sin, Satan, the flesh, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Okay? We have this power. But if we doubt the word of God, in other words, if you don't mix this knowledge that the Lord has given us in his word with faith, then you're never going to do anything. You're going to be the same boring self that you are every day. You're a bore. You're boring. Anyone that doesn't have faith is not exciting. They have no charisma. The Lord's charisma is not in you. You're not able to attract. There's no magnetic draw in you to draw people unto Christ. And therefore, you're a boring individual. You just have the same ignorant, boring look on your face every day. And you never achieve any godly thing. You may type, and you're typing for the Lord, but then on the other hand, you're also listening to TVs and for your edification, just for you to enjoy, but you're not watching the things in the world to be able to transmit the things that you see into godliness. All you do is just see things and you actually enjoy them. I mean, when I see things that I see in the world, in the newspapers, on television, I become infuriated, and it causes me, it moves me by the Spirit. The Spirit moves me to talk about it. Okay, so now let's continue on. And that's the difference, because it's, I have the faith. I please the Lord. I do. And anyone that loves the Lord and not only preaches his word, but lets the Lord live the word, lets the word which is the Lord live out itself, himself, in you. If you don't do that, you're not, you know, whatever you're reading, whatever you're hearing of the Bible is not mixed with faith. And like the children of Israel, around 3 million of them were not able to enter into God's rest, but they fell on the desert, and their rotten carcasses are there at this day. Okay? And that's the way it's going to happen to you. And the problem that a lot of you young folks have is you think you're going to live forever. But I've seen as many young people die in the church as I have the old. I know I could list a whole bunch of them, 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 9, 12-years-old people, and 16-year-old people. Preach funerals for them, and they're gone, and it was because they were obstinate. One of the boys, you see satanic people in churches. Some people say, well, I'm not going to church because the people are satanic there. Well, the people in the world are not satanic? What, are you kidding? You crazy or something? At least people in churches are not bombing innocent men, women, and children. Okay, so he was a peeping Tom. He was going around to different houses where he knew that little girls lived, and he'd peep, and he caught leukemia. And so I found out that that's what he was doing, so I told him, well, look, if you'll stop doing that, if you repent, in other words, then God will heal you. So he... I'll pray for you. And I prayed for him, and he did get healed. And then, all of a sudden, we heard that he was doing it again. He got leukemia, and he died. We preached his funeral. He was about 12, 13 years old. What was his name again? Huh?
Myron.
Myron. It's a black man, kind of boy. He's dead. Oh, God, that's been 20-some years ago. Okay, then what?
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses.
Yeah, this man, it says, Jesus was a man with God in him, okay? And so he was a man, and he had genuine human blood in him. And Reverend Haggie and several other people, Jack Chick, says that he had God's blood in him. But the Bible plainly says that God is the Spirit, and the spirits don't have blood. And that's why God had to become a man to have genuine human blood in it, so that he could show all the rest of us that it's more than possible. All things are possible if you only have faith, if you only believe. Amen?
Amen.
So you can rise up and not be a boring person. You can, if you let God live in you, you can be an achiever. All right? But if you don't, you're never going to be anything, and then you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Well, you're tired of hearing that. Well, I'm tired of looking at your boring face, too. Okay, so how's that? Tick for tack, right? Your boring, unexciting-looking work that you do, you don't do anything for the Lord. Here the Lord is feeding, clothing, housing you, and doing everything under the sun for you, and has provided a place in paradise for you. But you decided that you're going to be a smart aleck. You know, it seems like a lot of kids today think that they're bright, but they're dull. They're not bright at all. Well, you insult us. The Word of God insults you. And so I preach the Word of God, and if that insults you, that's just too bad. Be insulted. You should be insulted. Well, you don't like, well, I don't like you either, you know, really. Ezekiel didn't like the people that he preached to, but the Lord said, preach to them anyway. If they don't accept, he says, you're going to get the same reward. I get the same reward. You can tell all kinds of lies about me, but I'll even get more rewards. The more lies you tell about me, the more filth and dirt these stinking lies that you backsliders are telling about me, I'm getting more reward for that. You know, like I leap for joy. I leap, and I'm happy, and everybody knows that I've got a smile on my face almost all day long, unless somebody provokes me, right? Because that they don't keep the Word of God, and I think it's wrong for them not to keep the Word of God, all right? So I'm so happy, all you goons out there, that you talk about me. There's a song that says, please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Go ahead, talk about me. It doesn't bother me. That song, I put that in reverse. Please talk about me. All right? I'm not in this. If I was a politician, if I wanted to be loved by human beings, I wouldn't be preaching this gospel. Believe me, before I was saved, I knew how to deceive people back then, just like you people do. But when I got saved, I can't tell lies like the devil can and his children, you people. So we're at a disadvantage so far as lying. We can't lie, because no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. And that means you people are out. And you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, too, by saying that the word of God that I preach, that I'm a cult, okay, or that this is the devil. They said the same thing about Jesus. He said there's no forgiveness for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, not in this world and not in the world to come. So keep blessing me. He said there's an extra blessing on me if you talk about me. So please do talk about me while I'm here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And I'll be happy because I'm getting many more blessings. Scooby-dooby. All right? All right, go ahead.
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house.
And the Bible says that Jesus built everything. God came up with the idea, the plans of how to structure the entire universe and the world and everything in it, and Jesus carried it out. The Bible said that there wasn't anything that was made that was not made by Jesus. I mean, the Son. Now, the Son is the power and the wisdom of God, okay? So all power, the Bible says, in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, not backsliders or not demons, the devils, all the devils in the world. One angel can destroy all you devils out there. Don't you know that? But I'm praying that you get, you know, if you can, I think you've already blasphemed the Holy Spirit, so I don't think that you can be saved any longer, those of you that are bringing false accusations against the church. And the things that you say that I'm doing wrong are scriptural, okay? And I can prove it. Put one scripture that says that if I was doing what you say, the things that you say that I'm doing that I'm not doing, even if I were doing them, they're scriptural. They would be scriptural. I wouldn't. There's no condemnation in the Bible for the things that you say that I'm doing that I'm not doing. Okay? And so therefore, if I'm not condemned by the Lord, I don't feel anything. You're just conning a bunch of unsaved people that don't know the Word of God and that don't fear, that don't have the Lord in them. And so, you know, right on. Keep going. But you'll see. So if anything, if you can find anything in the Bible that I'm doing that is considered sin in the Bible, if you can show me the scripture and verse really quick, come on, quickly, and if you can find anything that I'm doing that is contrary to the Word of God, I'll eat the Bible without salt and pepper, ketchup, or anything. I'll eat every page of it. But I can show you in the Bible where you are going to hell in the lake of fire. I've got many scriptures on that. And I've got many scriptures telling of different great people of God, even Moses and Gideon and all sorts of other people, and David, that are that did what you say I'm doing. And God never condemns them for that. And so you people, you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. But I'll show you, if you want to get on a debate on a radio station, now you people seem to think you've got so much power, get on a live radio station someplace and do an interview with me. I hope it's on national television. And I'll bring so many scriptures that show that you're going to hell in the lake of fire that it's going to it'll make your head swim. But you will not be able to find one scripture of anything that I'm doing. If you say that I abuse children, that I don't even touch children, that I spank children, well, if I was, the Bible says that you're supposed to spank children, to discipline them if they're unruly. So that's not sin. And then the other, if I was doing anything else, I don't know what else you're accusing me of, but you say I'm a polygamist? Prove it. The government can't prove that. I'm not married to anybody except one woman. But if I was a polygamist, the Bible doesn't condemn that at all. Moses had 3 wives. Solomon 1,000. 700 wives, 300 concubines, or 300 wives, 700 concubines, whatever. He had 1,000 women. David, and he wasn't condemned for that. He was condemned for actually having unsaved women, people that were not of the Lord. He married them. David had lots of women. And the Lord said, I would have even given you more. So that proves that if I was doing what you're saying I'm doing, then I wouldn't go to hell for it, because nowhere does it say in the Bible, no polygamist shall enter the kingdom of God. And then can you name other polygamists? Solomon, David, Gideon, Moses, huh? Gideon. Oh, there's at least,
Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob. Okay, there's 40 of them in the Bible, polygamists. And they're all considered great men of God. All right? So, you know, shut your mouth. Because you're preaching against the Word of God. And this government, of course, is Antichrist. And they're going to come after anyone that's doing that. But still, no, I'm not. But if I were, it's not a sin against God. And it's not a sin against my soul. And it wouldn't be a sin if I spanked my kids or instructed other people, because I do instruct them to, because the Bible says so. The world is Antichrist, and so are you folks. You're devils. And I want you to know why you're still on this earth, that you're going to hell. Because I believe you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because you're calling this church that preaches the true word of God a cult. In fact, you're a demonic, devilish cult yourselves. And everything that you're saying is a dirty, filthy lie. And even if it weren't a lie, what you're saying is not against the Word of God. So it's, why are you praying and why are you going to church when you don't believe what the Lord says? All right, then what? The Word of God is not mixed in you with faith. And therefore, you're going to drop dead, and you're going to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. And I don't want it that way. I want you to be saved. And I certainly would forgive you if you repented and told the truth. Because the Lord doesn't take any pleasure in people going to hell in the lake of fire. And I certainly don't either, or I wouldn't be at the Lord if I did. Okay? Now keep going.
For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant.
Yeah, but he was faithful. Moses was faithful in all his house. He had 3 wives. Hey! The Bible's saying this about Moses. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't this the New Testament?
Yes.
Well, so the New Testament doesn't condemn polygamy. Okay? And I'm not saying that I am, because prove that I am. I'm not. I don't have devoted wives. I've always had one wife all my life. And if God told me to be a polygamist, and I did, it's no sin. And I believe that if I was, that's my business. It's my private business. It's not your business. It isn't the government's business, so the Antichrist government's business. You're going to say whatever you're going to say anyway, so, you know, what can I tell you? But I'm telling you. So in everything that I'm doing is of the Lord. And if there's anything that I'm doing that is not of the Lord, say it. All you can say is the same things you're always saying. Okay, then what?
Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast?
Wait a minute. We're the house of the Lord if we hold fast what? If we continue on believing the word, and if we don't start coming against the word, and if we don't start coming against the people that preach the word, and if we don't start calling God's word satanic. You're satanic. Okay, if we do what? Read that last verse.
But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
If we believe his word firmly until the very end of our lives. But you people are preaching things that you're trying to make me look like a devil for keeping the word of God. Isn't that funny? It's tragic, really, upon your part, because you're really going to be paying for this. Then what else?
Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice...
If you will hear the message, his voice, the word of God, if you'll hear it, then what?
Harden not your heart.
Don't start turning around and saying that the word of God is not true. Then what?
As in the provocation.
As in the when the people of Israel provoked the Lord by not believing what he said. He said, go into the land of milk and honey and take it over. And so there were two people that said they were righteous, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we can go in there and do this thing because the Lord not only destroyed Egypt, but he will destroy these giants. And little David, when he was approximately 19 years old, slew, he didn't have any armor. All he had was a slingshot. And he killed the giant. And a giant that was well armored. Picked up a stone. He picked up several stones because the giant had brothers. Amen?
Amen.
In case they got uptight because David knew he was going to kill him. So David's about 19 years old, and he starts rushing towards the giant. And he slings it to him. But these people, the other 10 people, they said, no, we can't go in there. We're like grasshoppers to them. And so they didn't believe the word of God. God says, do it, and they said, no. The Bible says that the things that you're calling me are not biblical, but the Lord says they are. But you're saying, no, they're not. So, they provoke the Lord by disqualifying his word, by saying his word is not God. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word, as a matter of fact, was God. And then the word, in verse 14 of the chapter 1 of the book of John, came into the world and dwelt among us. So God came into the world as a man. Now, if you believe what he said, and you believe the whole Bible, because the whole Bible is Jesus, then you can be saved. But if not, you're provoking God, the same as these evil people did, and 3 million of them, minus two, fell dead, and their souls went to hell in the lake of fire. All right? Now, I'm just so sad that my time has run out now. But I'm going to do another tape right after this one. And I'm going to continue on with this because this is really good Bible teaching. Amen? In case you don't know it. All right, so those of you that don't want to provoke the Lord and wind up in hell in the lake of fire, those of you that would like to accept the Word of God as it is, and you don't know if I'm telling you the truth or not, unless you read the Bible for yourself, you're going to be like the mob during the time of Noah's ministry here on earth. You're not going to believe him because you don't study the word and you don't care what the God of heaven and earth says. But you just want to believe the way you want to believe. Well, according to the Lord, this is wrong. And there's a penalty to pay for calling God a liar. and yourself the truth, or Satan the truth, or a bunch of ungrateful, what the Word of God calls bastards. Now the Lord said a bastard is a person that doesn't believe, that doesn't have God for their father, because they don't believe Him. And so you have to choose whether you want to be a bastard or a son of God, for God to be your father. If you want to be a son of God, the Lord says that when the Spirit of God enters into you, when you say this prayer, that the Spirit in you will say, Abba, because Christ has just become being born in you, and that young baby Jesus, the Spirit that's born in you, will leap in you and say, Abba, Father. That's how you say Father in Israel. When I was living in Israel, I walked by a school, and I heard a boy crying, and he was saying, Abba, Abba. Like he was pleading, Daddy. He wanted his daddy. I thought that was so nice. So, you know, have the Lord be your dad. Say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ, and remember, you have to believe and receive. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. And there's no forgiveness of sins unless I'm washed in your precious blood. Your word says that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of the Lamb of God's blood. And you shed that blood so I could have all my sins washed away. And so, Lord, enter into my heart and cleanse me completely with your blood. I believe you've heard me and I believe you've answered me. You will not turn me away because you said, your word says, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I know you've heard me and I know you've answered me and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, this is tape or CD number 196. It's free of charge if you'd like a copy of it. Postage and handling is paid for. Share and tell them four different ways to receive it.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, I've done thousands and thousands of tapes, but this is was part 94, tape 196, and how to have God's life living in you. And tomorrow will be part 95, so until tomorrow. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo with saying with all sincerity, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.